This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
Iowa caucus and the chaos that is ensuing today. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Cioli Show on Twitter at Rich Cioli and Facebook.com/Cioli Show. All right. So as we're trying to figure out the results of the Iowa caucus and the chaos that is continuing to ensue, it's crazy out there. It's absolute crazy. Without question, insanity out there. So we'll analyze that for you, of course. Great audio from the candidates to play. And by the way, if you are thinking about whether or not Bernie Sanders people are going to be furious, they're already furious. You just have to look on social media about that. They are already furious. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210. Joe is in Philly with a theory on the Democrat nominee. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Rich. How are you?
All right, buddy.
I think not only the chaos was intentionally done for Biden, but just think about it. I think they want to take out Biden and Sanders. I think it's all Bloomberg's money. This destroying, because I don't care what anybody says. The Democrats, scared of Sanders, they know that Biden's going to just get trounced. So I think they're hedging their bets to get rid of both of them. They're going to have to go with a Bloomberg. They're going to have to take the safe bet. There's no way they're going to go into a general election. We're either one of those two guys. No way. No way.
Yeah, because
I don't see it.
Go ahead. For Biden, the liability is this Ukraine stuff, right? I mean, it's a real liability for him.
It's horrible. I mean, just that Savannah Guthrie. I mean, he's mad. He doesn't want to answer the questions now. Imagine if he gets the nomination. They're going to ask him. Everybody's going to ask. What are you going to do? Keep him in a room, lock this so he doesn't answer any interviews? It's impossible. And Bernie's just pissed off all the time.
Always angry.
They don't want either one of them.
Yeah. No, listen, I think you're exactly right, my man. I think you said it perfectly. Joe, thanks for the call, bud. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210 is the number. 855-839-1210. Glad you are here today, of course, every day on the show. Meanwhile, don't forget the Pennsylvania primary is coming up around the quarter before you know it. And if you heard my interview yesterday with Steve Moore, the economist, he said whoever wins Pennsylvania is going to become the president. By the time the Pennsylvania primary gets here, can you in April we're talking about? Can you see like Steve? I mean, Pete Buttigieg still in the race by then? Can you see Amy Klobuchar still in the race by then? Do you see? That's what I mean. At some point, these candidates, they have a point where they go, I don't have the money to do this anymore. I don't have the ability to do this anymore. The real question is not, will Joe Biden reach that point? The question is when, and the question is how. You know, that's the question right there. But tonight's the State of the Union address. The president's going to be fine. He's fired up. He's ready to go. And for a lot of people now looking at all this, they go to themselves, you know, it seems to me like Donald Trump has probably, I don't know, never been in a stronger political position. And the reason why they're saying that is because Donald Trump has never been in a stronger political position. But by the way, Hollywood is still plagued with systemic racism, by the way. I want to mention this because if you have not seen the movie Joker with Joaquin Phoenix, very good movie. It's not at all a Batman movie. It's just they made it, they used the Joker character to get it green lit. But Joaquin Phoenix is a little bit, he's off his rocker. He's a little bit out there, and he was at the BAFTA Awards. And I do think this is very funny because, you know, I've been saying for a long time that the Democrat Party is totally white and woke, and Hollywood, which is another branch of the Democrat Party, right? They're totally white, woke. I mean, we have a joke on the show, you know, hashtag Dems no diversity, hashtag Dems so white. Well, this is Joaquin Phoenix last night at the BAFTA Awards.
I feel very honored and privileged to be here tonight. BAFTAs have always been very supportive of my career, and I'm deeply appreciative. But I have to say that I also feel conflicted because so many of my fellow actors that are deserving don't have that same privilege. I think that we send a very clear message to people of color that you're not welcome here. I think that's the message that we're sending to people that have contributed so much to our medium and our industry and in ways that we benefit from. I don't think anybody wants a handout or preferential treatment, although that's what we give ourselves every year. I think that people just want to be acknowledged and appreciated and respected for their work. This is not a self-righteous condemnation, because I'm ashamed to say that I'm part of the problem. I have not done everything in my power to ensure that the sets I work on are inclusive, but I think that it's more than just having sets that are multicultural. I think that we have to really do the hard work to truly understand systemic racism. I think that it is the obligation of the people that have created and perpetuate and benefit from a system of oppression to be the ones that dismantle it. So that's on us.
Woo! Get the hook. Get the music. Multicultural sets. Sounds like absolutely no fun. That's what it sounds like to me. No fun. Just pure white guilt. And I think Joaquin Phoenix should go to one of those dinners where you pay $2,500 to get lectured about your white guilt and your privilege over carbonara and white bread. And that would make Joaquin Phoenix feel much better about himself. He should also give up all of his awards and just hand them to people who are multicultural. That's what he should do after that.
Yes.
And he should cleanse himself by agreeing that he will never work again and just leave the business. Because if he leaves, he'll open up a spot for an actor who is multicultural and not privileged.
It's true.
So the first thing Joaquin Phoenix needs to do is a come to crazy moment where he goes.
No, it's not come to crazy.
Come to crazy moment and sit there and acknowledge his white guilt and pay $2,500 for dinner over carbonara and white bread and white wine and go, I can't help it. Help me. It's Hollywood.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine being at that award show? He just gets up there for 2 minutes and just lectures.
And then, of course, this is very much in line with the Democrat Party right now being called out for being super white and not inclusive and all the other things. So the two things are kind of happening at the same time, which is pretty funny to me. That it's you got Joaquin Phoenix on the one hand. You heard Michael Moore the other day. Yesterday, I played the cut going on about the all-white Democrat debate. So, woke. Where's woke? Woke seems to be with the white liberals right now. Or to put it another way, on MSNBC, if you are with Trump, you are with Satan. And if you are with a Democrat, you're with Jesus. So there's also that, too, on MSNBC. Legal analyst Maya Wiley lit into Senator Lamar Alexander for allegedly, take a listen.
Yeah, I mean, Maya, I've always said that there is a defense that something is simply not bad enough to warrant this extreme remedy, and you can walk through that explanation. But you have to then own logically that you're inviting future offenses precisely because you're not removing and you're not punishing. Lamar Alexander's taking the position basically that if you go agree to mow somebody's lawn for $20 and they stiff you, the way to get whole, to get the money you're owed, is to go mow their lawn again next weekend. And that doesn't work very well logically.
So there's an old Christian joke, and it's Satan's on one side of the fence and Jesus is on the other. And you walk off with your leader, depending on which side of that fence you're on. The person who sits on the fence, Satan comes back for the person on the fence. And he says, why? I didn't pick a side. And and Satan says, but it's my fence. So that's essentially what Lamar Alexander's saying, is I'm going to be the fence sitter. And to your point, you sent out a tweet over the weekend that was really important.
MSNBC, the new biblical channel for all your biblical analysis. MSNBC. Now, look, I don't know about you, but I have no idea what the hell she's talking about, but I do know this. That doesn't play well with a lot of Christian voters out there. That kind of mocking of that. And the guy, the MSNBC guy, didn't even know what to say. He just went, She's making Satan jokes. Let's move on now to another segment. But that's not the most awkward moment on MSNBC. Chris Matthews referred to Iowa as being a three-car funeral. By the way, have you ever seen a three-car funeral? Is that really a thing? Do you know? Like, Greg, is there a thing called a three-car funeral?
I've never heard. When I saw this, I was just like, I have no idea what a three-car funeral is. Like, is it like a... Because usually the procession lines are long, right? Because
right.
It starts with a hearse,
right.
And then all the cars that go to the cemetery, right? It's not usually three cars. It's usually a long line of cars.
Long line of cars,
always stop
right?
traffic.
Well, this is Chris Matthews very upset about Iowa and the chaos that kept going and going and still going, by the way, about Iowa. Take a listen.
Normally, I'd say, based upon my podcast, for example, it's the first rule, win Iowa, because 9
my
out
podcast.
Of 11.
Yes.
Let me just quickly promote my podcast. Hey, everyone, my podcast. Go get it. It's at ChrisMatthews.com/podcast.
No, that's not. I don't think that's where
you get it. Go get it.
I don't think there's a ChrisMatthews.com.
All right, keep going. Okay,
sorry. Normally, I'd say, based upon my podcast, for example, it's the first rule, win Iowa. Because 9 out of 11 Democratic presidential candidates who won Iowa won the nomination. Mm-hmm. And the only people that didn't were the local guy, Tom Harkin, and the neighbor, Dick Gephardt. So it has always been a really good leading indicator. But this time, I think we got a lot more game ahead of us with Bernie coming out really strong. I believe the first couple contests, staying strong for a while. Biden, I don't know if he's going to make it. We'll see tonight if he makes it on. They used to say three tickets out of Iowa. We'll mm-hmm. see. I think there'll be three or four, maybe. We'll see. But anyway, I want to turn it over to Joy Reid, my great colleague here. And what I liked is that battle we saw with Nina Turner and Jason, because I think in the end there's going to be one hell of a fight. Tonight is beautiful democracy. It'll get a lot uglier later. I think it is, because I think when the Bernie people go against the accused oligarch, I think we're going to have a hell of a fight.
Yeah. You know what he's talking about right now is a fight on MSNBC between a Bernie advisor who called Nina Turner, Bernie advisor Nina Turner, who called Michael Bloomberg an oligarch. All right. So this is the problem, right? So the Bernie people right now are furious that the DNC is playing games against them. And they're furious that Michael Bloomberg is dropping billions of dollars into this race. You heard Chris Matthews say, I don't know if Biden's going to make it. I don't know if Biden's going to make it. And he's very, very nervous about that. And you know what? He's got great reason to be. And the one, if Biden doesn't make it and the establishment wants somebody, the only person left is Michael Bloomberg. And the Bernie people know this, and they're not happy about it. They're not happy about Bloomberg coming around and just dropping a ton of money and cut 15.
Close viewers watching in our last segment may have heard Bernie surrogate Nina Turner call Mayor Bloomberg an oligarch, to which our own Jason Johnson took exception. State Senator Turner from Ohio is still listening in Des Moines because she wanted a moment to respond. Nina?
You know, it's just ironic to me that somebody would defend the wealthiest people in this country over the working people of this country. We need real campaign finance reform to the extent that a Mayor Bloomberg can totally finance his campaign. He doesn't have to go out to the people. He doesn't have to build a movement. He doesn't have to talk to people. He can buy his way. It is the same attitude that the elites, maybe Jason likes the word elite over oligarch, but it's the same attitude that the elites had in 1930 against FDR. All of them lined up against him, and he said, I welcome your hatred, because he was standing up for the people. And that is the same message that Senator Bernie Sanders has to the everyday people of this nation, that I welcome the hatred of the elites, because I am standing up for you. So cry me a river for the wealthy people in this country.
Nina, you work for a candidate who's part of the 1%. I have no problem with criticizing the system. The system that allows Mike Bloomberg to make all the money that he makes, the system that allows him to buy what he wants to buy, the system allows him to buy himself himself into the administration and buy himself into the debates is a problem. But to call him an oligarch, I think, is a misnomer in this environment. And again, you're working for somebody who's part of the 1%. Do you call him an oligarch? No, you don't. You say he's a rich guy. Because just because somebody has a tremendous amount of money doesn't mean that they're not necessarily representing the people. And if you want to use the term elite, you can use whatever kind of term that you want to use. But at the end of the day, the enemy of this country, the enemy of the poor, is not just everybody who happens to be rich. It is a capitalistic system that abuses people. And if you want to speak about that, that's fine. But if you want to name call people, that's not going to help Bernie if he becomes a nominee. And he's going to need Mike Bloomberg's money.
I'm not name calling anywhere.
If he's going
anybody.
To need Mike Bloomberg's money,
the
down the road.
It's this ironic is all I'm that talking you're defending about. Somebody that
I'm not
is
defending
buying his
rich
way.
They're going to get Joaquin Phoenix in this conversation. Yeah, bring him on to start talking to them. I can't imagine a universe in which that representative joins the Bloomberg team if he becomes the nominee. I there's no scenario in my mind where State Representative Nina Turner decides, you know what, Bloomberg's our nominee, and even though I call him an oligarch and all this stuff, I'm going to jump on board. Or the other guy that she's arguing with, Johnson, that he's going to turn around and join in, because they've decided that capitalism is the problem. You know, these are not people that are running to be fiscally conservative, but socially. Remember the old days that the Democrats used to say that they were like, I'm fiscally conservative, but I'm socially moderate or I'm socially liberal. Those days are long gone. Right now, Democrats are coming out and saying it's a matter of socialist or kind of socialist policies, but not really socialist. And then if you're kind of for socialist policies, but not really socialist, then you get that treatment right there. That's what you have to endure. I don't know how, if Bernie Sanders is deprived of the nomination by shenanigans, I don't know how those people, how you tape up that shattered Humpty Dumpty egg right there. I don't know how you do that. Listen, we're doing an hour of nonstop talk. And we're not going anywhere.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Let's see. Let's turn our attention for a moment, shall we, to the impeachment fiasco. Adam Schiff has the latest theory, which I absolutely love this theory. If he's not removed, the president is not removed. This is what he could do now. If you senators don't remove Donald Trump from office, this is what could happen now. Cut six.
But this has become the president's defense. And yet, this defense proved indefensible. If abuse of power is not impeachable, even though it is clear the founders considered the highest of all high crimes and misdemeanors, but if it were not impeachable, then a whole range of utterly unacceptable conduct in a president would now be beyond reach. Trump could offer Alaska to the Russians in exchange for support in the next election, or decide to move to Mar-a-Lago permanently and let Jared.
Hang on. Ready? Yeah. How about Alaska? There's only like caribou up there.
No, there's a lot of people.
And some like meth heads. Would
no,
you?
No,
how about you get
true.
Alaska and I'll, you make me president? How does he just give Putin Alaska? Like, how does it even work? Putin, it's now yours. We'll call it Putinville. You just give him Alaska? Like, think of the stupidity of that comment. How does that even, the transaction work? Like, he's got the pink slip to Alaska like it's a car?
The lease is up on it.
Hands it to Putin? Now it's yours. No. Keep that in a safe space. Give some title to Alaska. Keep that in a drawer. You don't want to lose that. Then it's a whole big to-do. You know, if you lose that pink slip to Alaska, it's a whole to-do. You know what I mean? Finding that, and then, you know what I mean? So
it's always about
just
the pink
give
slip.
Him Alaska. Why Alaska, by the way? Why not get Putin like California? I mean, it seems to me like that would solve a lot of the president's problems, right?
Well, because he can see Alaska from his house.
Right. That's right.
Sorry, little. No, little, but I mean, it's closer, you know.
It is closer. That's true. How about the whole West Coast? Throw an Alaska to boot. Listen, Pootie. You get California.
Is that what he calls him, Pootie?
Pootie, yeah, Pootie.
Pootie.
You get California, Washington, Oregon. Act fast, I'll throw it Alaska. Just make me president again. Sounds like his problems are all. And then Putin calls back and goes, listen, I don't want California. It's freaking crazy. You see the poop on the streets? Yeah, like, what do you think of me?
It's gross.
It's gross. What are you, crazy? I'm not taking that. I was reading an article yesterday about how the entire San Francisco is completely insane. And Drudge linked to this yesterday because all the tech millionaires that live out there, you know, the problem for them is that it's the richest city in America per capita. You've all these billionaires that live there. There's no housing. There's a major housing crisis because what the government has done, of course, with the affordable housing, which never works, is it winds up there's not enough housing that people can actually afford. So you've either got very, very rich people or very, very poor people, but there's no middle left. And then since there's not enough housing for all the poor people, they wind up being on the streets. And San Francisco is being overrun with homelessness and poop on the streets and hypodermic needles and everything else. The Daily Mail did a whole expose on this, and businesses are fed up and people are fed up and they want to leave. And it's just there are conferences that were supposed to be in San Francisco. They're moving them to Vegas. There are tech companies that are based out there that are moving their own conferences to Vegas because they don't want to have to deal with it. So it's bad. And then and it's a little bit crazy because there's a lot of hypodermic needles out there. They hand them out to people. And It's not one of those things where they go, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. They're spending a ton of money trying to clean up this place. But that's what happens when you get into this kind of, you know, utopia situation over there. That's how this works. It's what happens. And so, you know, people look at that and they go, ooh, wouldn't we love to be like San Francisco, the city by the bay? And then they step on a hypodermic needle or in poop. No, what the hell? Human poop. It's true. That was in the article. Amazing. By the way, Coach Reed said he will go to the White House. He's accepted the president's invitation. He's going to go. He called it an honor. And I imagine the Kansas City Chiefs will be able to go to the White House pretty soon, I would think, right? Sounds like it.
Yes.
I made this point yesterday. You know, in New Jersey, for example, there are two national football teams that play in the state of New Jersey. You know who they are, Dawn?
What?
Oh, boy.
The New York Jets and the New York Giants.
Okay, here we go.
Because they practice there.
Oh, no, they play there. Yes. They play in Jersey. Yes.
And this is what Ducey said on the air, right? And he was ripped for it.
Oh, I don't know. Did he say this?
Yeah.
What did he say?
He released a statement comparing the Missouri-Kansas City flop thing to New Jersey really being the Jersey Giants because that's where they're located.
Right.
He shouldn't have said anything.
Who did that? Steve Ducey from Fox News?
Yeah. Oh. He just should have shut it.
Well, here's my question. If the New York Jets can ever win a Super Bowl, all right, do you congratulate New Jersey or New York?
I think, truthfully, New York, but you could do both because obviously everybody from North Jersey, that's their team, right? Or most people from North Jersey. So.
Or the Giants.
Right. Exactly.
But they're the New York Giants, but they play in Jersey. So what if you just congratulate New Jersey on the great win?
I mean, technically, you would be right because they play in New Jersey.
Right?
Yes.
I just...
Would that be a political snafu? Yes, Dawn, go ahead.
Here's my take on this whole thing. Mm-hmm. The president said Missouri. He meant to say Kansas. Like,
no, he said Kansas.
Or he said Kansas, Missouri. He meant to say Missouri. But he, quickly changed it to the correct answer. Everybody should have just left it.
By the way, he's going to give Kansas to Putin now after this.
Stop.
He's so mad about it.
People do this all the time. You know what I mean? Like, people do it all the time. Like, it's not a big thing. But then everybody made it a big thing by trying to, be enablers or something. Like, oh, they practice here. Just let it, you know, people do that all the time.
Well, there's a Kansas City, Kansas, and a Kansas City, Missouri, right?
It was an honest, little snafu, and
but
he, 10 seconds later, he changes it. Big deal.
But people in Kansas City, Kansas, root for the Kansas City Chiefs. So I bet you a lot of people who go to those games are from Kansas, right? I mean, Kansas doesn't have their own team. This isn't Smallville. Like, that is their team.
Right.
If you live in Kansas, you most likely root for the Chiefs. So
true.
My question would be, if I'm the president and the Jets or the Giants win the Super Bowl and I congratulate New Jersey, have I made a mistake? Is it where the team plays or is it the name of the team
and then
the geography of where they're located? Because Kansas City, it's not like the Kansas City, Missouri Chiefs, right? It's just the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
So if there's a Kansas City in Kansas, and a lot of the fans from Kansas City, Kansas, go to the games and you congratulate Kansas, you haven't really done anything wrong. You see, what I would have done if I were the president, I would have sent a second tweet and said, and you too, Missouri. Right?
Well, that's a good – that actually is a great analysis to say – to tweet, to redo it, because he deleted it immediately,
yeah.
To redo it and just say to all the fans across Missouri and Kansas, who I know, you know what I mean? Like, he could have smoothed that out. That's true.
Yeah, so that's why I think it was probably a staffer who did that, because Trump's not big on deleting tweets. I mean, there's a whole archive of tweets he probably should delete, by the way, from, you know, but they're still there.
That's true.
So I'm wondering if the thing would be that the president of the United States had somebody tweeted it out and then they deleted it. Because I think if it was Trump, he would have tweeted back and said, and also Missouri, and just left it at that. You know?
Don't forget Missouri, too.
Yeah, and Missouri, too. Because you'd be correct if you said to the Jets or the Giants, congratulations yes. to the state of New Jersey. That's where they play. Their name is New York, but they play in Jersey. Everybody at the game would be a lot of the people would be Jersey people, right? So you wouldn't do anything wrong, but then people would mock you for that, and then you'd write back and go, and also New York. Like, give me a freaking break, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like who do you congratulate? Because I know a guy who is grew up in Kansas, like, you know, on a farm in Kansas, and he loves the Kansas City Chiefs. His father loved the Kansas City Chiefs. So
does he work for the Daily Planet? Does he wear glasses? Your friend's never around. No. Superman's around. I mean, I've heard of this guy.
Yes, it's the same guy. same guy.
Now, so your point would be then that he's definitely a Kansas City Chiefs fan. He was probably excited when the president congratulated the state of Kansas.
Yes.
They consider that to be their team.
Their team, yes, because, I mean, they don't have a national or a, you know, professional football team there.
North Jersey considers, to Dawn's point, the Jets and the Giants to be their team. Like,
yeah.
Nobody in North Jersey is rooting for the Eagles for the most part, right?
No.
And nobody in South Jersey. I mean, South Jersey, our team is the Eagles.
Yes.
So
right.
If you were to say, congrats, South Jersey, like if Kellyanne Conway tweets out, congratulations, South Jersey, on the Eagles' victory. Wow. Right?
Yes.
Right.
You're congratulating a ton of Eagles fans.
Yes.
And you're not saying like the factually incomplete thing would be, congratulations, South Jersey. It's so great the Eagles play their games in South Jersey, in Gloucester. You know what I mean?
And if you're, like, for instance, like, to your point, if the Eagles won the Super Bowl, would you say congratulations, Philadelphia? Would you say congratulations, Pennsylvania? Because Pennsylvania is Pittsburgh, too. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
right.
Would you say congratulations, South Jersey? Because to your point, South Jersey is Eagles country.
I think, Dawn, we learned a lesson about deleting tweets. It never helps to delete, right? Just double down. The deleting looks like it was a mistake. That was the mistake the president made. He just shouldn't have deleted it. He should have owned it. Go ahead, Dawn.
To your point, if he had just retweeted and said, you know, across Missouri, across Kansas, and the Chiefs fans across the country, I know there are a few here in Philadelphia who pretend to be Eagles fans, but actually are actually Kansas City people. Okay?
Here's the thing.
Oh, but they're pretenders.
My daughter has this great comment that she makes all the time. Whenever I'll say this to her, I'll go, listen, Patrick, you want to go outside and have a catch? And she'll go, and me too? So that's her thing, right? She always goes, and me too? And me too. And it's become a joke, like a running joke in her house. So Missouri was just like, and me too, you know, like the president congratulated Kansas. And me too. You know, you give him a little tap like, you too. That's where the stadium's located. Good for you.
You know
what I mean? The physical stadium's there. Good for you. See, this is a lesson in crisis communications right here. You know what I mean?
So if you were advising him, you would have said just double down on it
and just own it. Own it. You know,
I didn't make a mistake. Yeah. Kansas, they love Kansas City.
Yeah.
And Missouri, they love Kansas City. And that's how it is. You know what I mean? But by deleting the tweet, it looks like he made a mistake. So this is a good lesson for the future. You know what I mean? So if I'm ever president, because I don't know sports very well, and I made that similar mistakes, one of my advisors would have to be like, it's okay. Here's how we're going to get by this. We're going to find fans who geographically identify with that team, and you're covered. You know, that's how you do it right there. Boom. See? I kind of miss politics a little bit, to be honest with you. I would have loved to have been on the president. Well, I would have loved to have been hanging with him the other night and said, don't delete that. What are you doing?
Can you send a note to your favorite son-in-law?
Ah, you know what? I'm still mad at him for going on Fox News and not me. So, no, I'm not justifying his mistakes. He always truth says, just stop justifying the president's mistake. I'm not. I'm saying how I would have handled it. I mean, if it's a mistake, fine, okay. But I'm just saying I would have not made it a mistake. I would have owned it and doubled down on it is my point. I would have owned it and doubled down and triple dog downed on it.
Triple dog.
Yeah. I would have been like, but isn't it amazing, though, that this has consumed so much of the media? Meanwhile, the Democrats can't count votes in Iowa, and this is what we're talking about. I love it.
And that's the bigger point.
It makes me laugh. Yes.
If this were not Trump or a Republican, the media, I think nobody would even be talking about it. You know?
Right.
It'd be a nothing burger.
A big nothing burger. Yeah.
100%.
You know, nothing burger is one of those phrases like watching paint dry. Does anybody ever actually watch paint dry, by the way?
Nope.
They don't really do that, right?
I hope not, unless you got a lot of time on your hands.
Well, I'm in the process of redoing a room in my house. We are actually watching paint dry. We are actually watching paint dry, and it's as exciting as it sounds.
Now, the president just retweeted a tweet from Dan Scavino, and I like this tweet. It's a dumpster on fire going down a flooded river.
Oh, it's so bad.
It's a sick.
Right? Oh, God.
It's a dumpster on fire going down what a very, very flooded street, an American street. And that is and he put on there, Iowa Democrats. And I just retweeted it as well. So you can take a look at that tweet from Dan Scavino. That's fantastic. I love that. That's great.
It's over, right? It's over. This whole thing is over.
So let me just remind you, if you're just joining the show, first of all, we're not talking about Democrats are missing the results of a precinct, of a town, a neighborhood. Democrats in Iowa are missing the results of Iowa, the whole friggin' Iowa, the whole state, all right? All of it. Sir, we can't give the results yet. Of what? Of the 4th Congressional District? The 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, the whole state. We have nothing. We can't. You mean you've lost Iowa? We've lost Iowa, yes. We don't have results. The whole state of Iowa. How does this make sense in anybody's in anyone's universe that they think that there's no funny business going on when you're talking about results from the entire state? The entire state, gone. There's no results from Iowa. All of it. South, north, middle, west, east, southeast, southwest, northeast, northwest. You get the point. There's no results from the Iowa caucus. Not one. Not two. Zero. No results. Anyway, 855-839-1210. But still, this dumpster fire continues in Des Moines. New York Post headline today, Des Moines. Democrats in chaos as Iowa caucus implodes. And if you don't think this is a conspiracy to hurt Bernie Sanders, then I don't know what to tell you. You're not paying attention, because that's exactly what this is. That's exactly what this is. This is the Democrats now doing their thing to stop Bernie Sanders from getting the nomination.
Thanks for taking the Scioli Show with you. Rich Scioli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
102 million people tuned in to the Super Bowl, which is up from the previous year before that. So obviously 102 million people saw a lot of commercials. They also saw commercials from the president and from Michael Bloomberg. And I'm telling you right now, Bloomberg is going to be the nominee. I've said it, and I'm doubling down on my prediction. He's going to wind up being the nominee. As the chaos of Iowa was unfolding last night, CNN just couldn't handle it. They had no idea what was happening. They didn't know what to do. They were very, very frustrated last night. Here's Anderson Cooper, and you had Van Jones on there, some other people too, and they were all talking about stuff. One of them tried to defend the importance, the incompetence of the Iowa Democrats. by saying the following quote, because they know how many initially came through the door and stood in their respective corners. They know how many then moved into someone else's category. Common sense dictates if that's the third calculation. All right. So take a listen.
Anderson, all these candidates, yeah. They want to go on television. They want to deliver speeches. They don't want to do it in the middle of the night. They want to do it now. And they're getting zero results so far.
Yeah, middle of the night. It could be in the morning. Back now with the panel. Van, you were just saying
I'm just looking on Twitter. You got a caucus secretary from a precinct who's just been, he says he's been on hold for an hour. He's just going to tweet out, just starting to tweet
he's
out.
He's been on hold for an hour with
for an
the
hour with
Democratic Party.
With the Democratic Party. He can't get a response. So they're just starting to tweet out their results. This is starting to look like a debacle.
Wait, who is this tweeting?
This is Sean Sebastian. On Twitter, he's just tweeting out his results. I'm the caucus secretary.
What's his job? Where is he?
I am the caucus secretary for Story County Precinct 1-1. I've been on hold for over an hour to report the results. We have six delegates, and he just reports out his first alignment and the delegates. I don't know if it's true or not. I'm just saying that you're starting to see a level of desperation set in, and it's starting to look like a debacle.
Well, the word from the party, which I just got from somebody working for the party, and they did just put out the update, is that they only have 25% coming in, right? As they were saying, why?
Right, again,
because they're hiding the results because Bernie's winning. That's why. Because Bernie's crushing it. So they're going, we only have 25% coming in because those are the 25% Bernie didn't win. So those are the ones we want to put out there. Otherwise, we have to hide the other 75%, which shows that Bernie won Iowa. So we got to kind of dig that, bury it a little bit, bury it under the sand and keep going. I'm also shocked CNN has connections with the Democrat Party. I didn't see that coming. Who knew? All right, keep going.
It was 83.4% back in 2016. Why, and also, if you have 25%, why not release 25%?
That's right.
There are no machines. There are no ballots to count. This should actually be an easier process than a conventional election.
It's like a bunch of
and
votes.
Everybody right. who was in those individual caucuses knows what the result was. This is entirely doable. It's frankly the third category I expect that's probably causing the complication when they're trying to do the translation mm-hmm. because they know how many initially came through the door and stood in the respective corners.
And
they know how many then moved into someone else's category. Common sense dictates it's the third calculation.
But didn't they practice? Like, did they do dry runs?
Yeah, they did. And Bernie won the dry runs. And that's the thing. If you think that this is not designed to stop Bernie Sanders from getting the nomination, you are crazy. You're crazy. Come on. Look, it's not hard to see. The Democrats are realizing right now that Bernie Sanders is an electoral disaster. They get that. They understand that. And whatever they got to do to stop him, they're going to do. And if that means then votes or whatever things go missing, you don't have a technical delay and the entire state goes missing. It doesn't happen that way. I've never in my life seen that in politics, where a little glitch causes the whole state's results to just disappear. Last night in Iowa, here's America's mother-in-law, Elizabeth Warren, as she was lamenting. And I imagine there might be a lecture coming.
It is too close to call, so I'm just going to tell you what I do know.
You won!
As the baby daughter of a janitor, I am so grateful to be
The baby daughter of a janitor?
Ugh.
The baby daughter of a janitor. Is that, wait, like, are you a love child? Is that your sugar dad? Like, what is that? My baby daddy, the janitor. I thought he was an Indian chief. I thought he was a revered, celebrated Indian chief. Now he's a lowly janitor. See the guy that swept up the reservation? Is that what his job was? Or the Native American gift store? The fake Indian gift store? Is that what he did? My daddy, the janitor.
As the baby daughter of a janitor, I am so grateful to be up on this stage tonight. Tonight, as a party, we are one step closer to defeating the most corrupt president in American history.
American history.
Tomorrow, Donald Trump will make a speech about the State of the Union, but I have a message for every American.
Go ahead, lecture
Our
us.
Union is stronger than Donald Trump.
You know what's not stronger than Donald Trump? Your campaign. And that's why you're losing badly. And if you look at the poll results coming out, America's mother-in-law is going down. She's not going to win Iowa, and even though she was doing really well. And then you head to South Carolina, and guess what? Joe Biden is plummeting in South Carolina. And guess who's winning? Yep, you heard it. Bernie Sanders, he's winning Iowa. So now what's happening? You see, kids, what's happening right now? 855-839-1210. What's happening right now is that the Democrat Party is doing everything they possibly can to stop Bernie Sanders. And there's only one guy who's got the time, who's got the money, and the ability to stop it all, and that's Michael Bloomberg. Let's go to Tim. He's in Westchester this morning on radio.com. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Rich. How you doing today?
All right, buddy. Good. Thanks for the call.
Good. I wish I was the baby son of Joe Biden. I'd have a couple $1 million instead of driving to work, but...
Hey, yeah, but you also would have knocked up a stripper, so just think about that. Just keep that in mind, too.
That might not be... never mind. You may want to look at this election in a different way, too. This is the way to cast doubt for the presidential election, although it is a caucus, but I will watch to see if this occurs in New Hampshire and South Carolina as well. And I just think you need to look at it in a different way, too. They're going to knock out Sanders, but going to be a way to cast doubt for future elections here.
So this is already the way that they can justify in November when the president wins that there were all kinds of shenanigans.
That's correct.
Interesting theory, my friend. I like it. I like where you're going with this. It's a very, very out of the box theory. All right, Tim, have a great day, brother. 855. All right, thank you. I appreciate it. 855-839-1210. John is in Woodbury. John, good morning.
Hey, you know, I don't believe you're the best analysis on the radio, and you don't get it. The Russians did it.
They said, give us Alaska or we're going to mess with Iowa. This could all go away.
The heart of it.
You know, I think it's fantastic.
Did it.
Right now, Vladimir Putin has all the results of the Iowa caucus, and he'll only return them if he gets Alaska.
Exactly. The Russians did it.
All right, you're right.
It's the program here, Rich.
I got to pay attention. I got to do a better job. I get it.
That's
thank you, my
exactly.
friend.
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. As the baby daughter of a janitor, a great Indian chief named Cloud in the Sky, I want to let you all know that I am completely full of it.
As the baby daughter of a janitor, I am so grateful.
She sounds like an illegitimate child, right? Like she sounds
right.
like the janitor.
Like the love child. Of,
yeah, like
right.
they put her in a basket and put her in a river like in Batman Returns and she just floated and then was raised by penguins. That's what it sounds like to me.
Oklahoma Moses.
Elizabeth.
They put her in the basket, set her down on the, yeah, on the what's the Oklahoma River, I guess? I don't know my rivers.
Elizabeth Cobblepot.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Elizabeth Cobblepot, and then she was raised by
by a penguin.
Yeah, but raised by a penguin. That'll be the next story she tells. I was raised by under the ground penguins in a sewer, and that's why
that was Batman Returns, man.
That's why I'm the climate change candidate. They said, by the way, last night in some of the exit polls that climate change is a bigger issue to them than income inequality for the woke Democrats. That's amazing to me.
Don't feel bad about the rivers. You remember Obama said there were 57 states.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't mean it any more than Trump meant that. I mean, like, people make mistakes, you know what I mean? But what's the river that separates Kansas City and Kansas City? What's the river?
Kansas City and Kansas City.
River between...
Kansas City, Kansas and Kansas City, Mo. What's the river that separates the two Kansas cities? The Missouri? That's the one they put Elizabeth
Platte
Warren
River.
In and sent her down. The Platte River?
Platte River.
I was raised in a bassinet. They put it in the river, and they pushed me down the river. And then I was adopted on an Indian reservation where I was raised by Chief Running Foot. It's like nothing the woman says is truthful. Nothing.
As the baby daughter of a janitor, I am so grateful to be up on this stage tonight.
There you go. Look
so
at
Missouri
you.
The Missouri River flows south to the city of Omaha. The Platte River is the longest tributary from the west. I don't want to get reamed for this, so there's your river history.
Is someone texting you river
yeah, I'm
history?
I'm getting.
Oh, okay. You know, did someone text you about the Obama 57
oh,
states
yeah.
comment, too?
And, yeah. and he also texted, and Joe Biden forgets where he is all the time.
Yeah.
Which state he's in, so.
But you see, but the problem with that is it justifies that the president made a mistake,
Yeah.
And you see, I don't think he did make a mistake.
Yeah, he did.
No, he should have doubled down. This is what I would have said to him. Come out and go, okay, Kansas City, Kansas, congrats. Kansas City, Mo, haven't forgot you, baby. Congrats to you, too.
Casey Mo.
Casey Mo. That's it. That's what you got to do.
Casey Mo.
See, if somebody says Obama said 57 states, that's an obvious mistake, right? That means that Trump made an obvious mistake. I'm all about doubling down and never admitting your mistakes in life. That's my practical political philosophy. My baby daddy raised me in Kansas City and Kansas City. Oh, man. All right. 855-839-1210. What am I doing here, Stalker? Oh, first of all, Bill, are there any Facebook comments, by the way?
Yes, there are.
Thanks for letting me know.
And go on, please.
Oh, well.
What do we got, Millennial? What do we got?
So, David said, Rich doing sports is as fugazi as Democrats counting.
Yeah. He's not doing sports.
Fair enough.
That's right.
Well,
I did my research on the New York Jets and the New York Giants.
It's like a lot
of
work,
a lot of show prep.
Duke said Bernie Bros and the other left fanboys have nothing to lose. That's why they don't mind sitting out for elections. The rest of us know that liberty itself and the republic could be at stake with this upcoming election.
Hmm. Very well said. Who said that?
That was Duke.
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 Well, thank you for that. It's great to have the Facebook check-in brought to you by our great friends at Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationship matters, and they know that our relationship matters. And by the way, speaking of relationships, I want to thank Casey Snyder, Casey V. Snyder on Instagram. He and his family are in Washington, D.C. They should be at the White House about now, according to his post. And he took a picture last night at the Lincoln Memorial, with you see the Washington Monument in the background, and the reflecting pool. He's wearing the green Zeoli Army shirt. And the woman next to him, who I believe is his daughter, is wearing a gray Zeoli Army t-shirt. And so the family, it's a family affair wearing the Zeoli Army shirts. And I think that's awesome. So
cool.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I posted it on my story as well on Instagram. That's awesome. We love that stuff. We love those Zeoli Army shirt sightings. So thank you for that. We appreciate it very much.
And if you want to follow Rich and the show on Instagram, it's Zeoli Show. It's Zeoli Show on Instagram. So
Zeoli Show on Instagram.
There's
very,
a lot of,
very good.
You have videos from the Trump rally up there. You have pictures of your adorable children. Your interview with the president. There's pictures up there. Kellyanne Conway with the Zeoli Army shirt. There's a lot of stuff up there.
There's a picture of me petting a walrus. Feeding a walrus.
What?
No?
Paul McCartney.
Oh, there should be. 855-839-1210. We'll add that to the thing.
I'm trying to promote your Instagram, and you're making jokes about me.
I was raised by a walrus who took me in when my janitor baby daddy put me in a bassinet and sent me down the river. That's why I'm the candidate who can most likely talk to animals. I'm the Dr. Doolittle of this campaign. all right, Dawn, how are we looking today on this crazy, crazy day? It's
crazy,
right?
Day. It is. So we got some crazy news. We've got Zeoli Show news. Right now we have, what, 49 degrees? It's going to be a warm spring-like day. That forecast in just a moment. So Philadelphia police clearing Gritty of all criminal charges. The fuzzy orange Flyers mascot, Gritty, no longer facing possible assault charges. Investigators say they found no evidence, zero zilch.
Free Gritty.
No evidence that he ever assaulted or came into contact with this 13-year-old boy whose dad made these public claims, held a news conference for the media. The police said, nope, case closed. Boom, there it is.
And, so, Dawn, we predicted this.
Yes, the only
did we not?
100%.
We said it was a what, Dawn?
You said it was a fugazi.
A fugazi.
Fugazi. And okay. There you have it.
I was raised by a poor mascot.
As the baby daughter of a janitor.
As the baby daughter of Gritty.
Gritty's my daddy.
Gritty's my daddy. It's going to be her next claim. When the Pennsylvania primary comes, she's going to go out there and say Gritty's her daddy. Prove her wrong.
So today in Philadelphia, guess who's coming to Philadelphia? Democrat Michael Bloomberg.
There you go.
At the National Constitution Center this evening, former Philadelphia Mayor Michael Nutter, by the way, is working for Bloomberg's campaign, along with former Eagles linebacker Dahani Jones. By the way, a little mayor stats, the current mayor, Jim Kenney, endorsing Elizabeth Warren, and former mayor and gov, Ed Rendell, endorsing Joe Biden. PA primary, April 28th. Here's what's trending on social media, and I found this
By the way, Dawn, before get off that, so Bloomberg's coming to Pennsylvania tonight, to Philadelphia tonight.
Yes.
And he was at Reading Terminal a couple, I think like maybe last, I forget, it was during, our email was down, but I remember I got the press release about that, and he was going to Reading Terminal Market. So my point is, he's spending a lot of time in Pennsylvania. He's not spending time in, he didn't spend any time in Iowa.
No.
Greg, when is the Pennsylvania primary?
April 28th.
Thank you, Dawn. April 28th. So you see Bloomberg's strategy? It's to wait till this chaos and all these idiots run out of money. And then he wins the states that he's actually spending money in, like Pennsylvania. That's why I say he's going to become the nominee.
Well, it's interesting to your point. He's doing the research. He has hired all of these former mayors, Los Angeles, Miami. Like, he's got all these former biggity-bigs from the DNC, mayors, former mayors, all working for him from across the country. By the way, he turned 78 years old Valentine's Day. What's trending is his height. So
his what?
His height.
Height.
How tall is he?
You said height.
Yeah, I meant height.
Like height. Like Hiawatha. Height. By the way, I got to tell you, some of the names on Twitter for Elizabeth Warren's daddy.
Oh, no.
Like Jersey Dan says her daddy was Chief Cleaning Halls.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's...
Chief Cleaning Halls. Comic Dave Evans says, the baby daughter of my janitor father, whose Indian name is Flushing Toilets.
No, it's not. We don't endorse
No,
this.
That's not nice.
Bob says, as the baby daughter of a janitor, Chief sweeps a lot of the janitor tribe. I mean, come on.
Chief sweeps a lot.
These are great fake Indian names.
Of a janitor.
She's not a real Native American, so you can make these are fake Native American names. You're mocking her. You're not mocking Native Americans or Native American janitors.
We would never do that.
Or janitors.
So Bloomie's height is estimated. Nobody knows for sure, but he tried to lie and say it was 5'10". They estimate that he's 5'6".
Yeah. Well, he needs lifts.
Yeah. So maybe he's got heels. His estimated net worth, $60 billion. And he's a divorcee, so he has a longtime girlfriend, Diana Taylor. She was a registered Republican until 2018. That's when she did the switch. So Diana Taylor is estimated to be 6 feet tall.
He likes him tall, huh?
Likes
tall women.
Tall and Republican.
Nice.
So there you have it. Some little
tall and Republican.
Bloomy stats.
Bloomy stats.
So for the first time in history, a bit of Iowa, the caucus comes to Philadelphia with the University of Pennsylvania hosting a satellite location. They have no glitches. They have no technical difficulties. So the Democrat Satellite Caucus at the University of Pennsylvania is one of several satellite centers across the nation. And they basically serve as an absentee balloting for those who could not be in Iowa physically. So their top candidate, hands down, among the Penn students from Iowa, Bernie Sanders, number one.
Mm.
So we don't have the official Iowa from the state of Iowa, but Penn State Satellite says Bernie won it.
I'm telling you, he won Iowa. That's why this whole thing is happening right now.
Well, it's very interesting.
And you know who's at fault here? There's a woman to blame, counting the votes.
Or abroad.
As Megaphone Bernie would say.
So finally, going viral, this is a sweet story of how a Florida beer can reunited a long-lost dog with his Minnesota family. So Monica Mathis and her kids, they say their beloved terrier.
I was
terrier,
raised as a dog by a Minnesota family.
As the baby daughter of a janitor.
I'm the baby daughter of a Mississippi family who raised me as a dog. Sorry.
I mean, she's trying to do a sweet story.
I'm sorry, Dawn.
This is about Day Day. Day Day was stolen from her Minnesota yard 3 years ago. But anyway, the Smiley Rescue Pup ends up at a shelter in Florida. The microchip had some wrong info somehow. So Day Day was only one of four rescue dogs. Only four rescue dogs were featured on Motorworks Brewery beer cans to help the shelter in Manatee County, Florida, raise money. So Monica and her kids see this on Facebook because they're animal lovers. So they see it, you know, all over there, the cute little doggy on the beer can. And they go, that's our pup. So they had to prove it. And they have this, it's going viral. It's a really cute little story.
Nice.
All
it's
the
very
little
nice.
Pictures.
Yes.
We have a 60% chance of rain this morning, but the rain should go away by 11 a.m. So it'll be cloudy but very warm, a high of 61 degrees today. Tomorrow, 44 and cloudy. I'm Dawn, Zioli Show News, radio.com app.
Thank you, Don. I'm just trying to think if Michael Bloomberg is only 5'8" and Donald Trump is how tall, Don?
6'3". Size 12 shoe.
So now what will happen is at the debate, typically what the both candidates have to agree on a number of different things. The temperature in the room, for example. You know, some candidates like it hot, some like it cold. They have to agree on the length of questionings, all these things. The campaigns go back and forth. And one of the things they have to agree on is the level of which the candidate will stand on. And yes, candidates often stand on boxes. So I'm thinking now you've got to have, to get him to the level of Donald Trump, you've got to get him to a box that is at least, now I'm no math guy, but you're talking about what, 6, 7, 8 inches? You need an 8-inch
box.
It's a big box.
It's a very big, big box.
To get him to seem to be the same height as Donald Trump.
Right.
So now if I were the president, what I would do is I'd come out and I would say, Mike, I don't need you to get in a box. I'm going to lower myself to you and get on his knees, and he'll still be taller than Bloomberg.
But
he'll
so
look
wrong.
Very gracious doing it.
It might look weird.
But then he can turn around and go, oh, still taller, never mind. And then he can get back up. Be hysterical.
Don't most short people lie, like give themselves a few inches anyway? So if he says he's 5'6", maybe he's really like 5'3 or 5'4.
Yes, well, as a vertically challenged man, I can tell you that. No, I look, a guy gave me a lot of gifts. Height is not one of them. But I would say to you that, yes, you know, you wind up exaggerating your height. Like my driver's license, I get the question that I get asked a lot is, well, what does your height say on your driver's license? It really depends on when I did was I wearing shoes? Because I do that at the doctor's office. Like they go, okay, got your weight. What's your height, sir? And I go, with shoes or without?
With hair and heels.
Oh, that is amazing. That is an amazing insight into your life.
Somebody just tweeted me a picture of, it's Air Force One, and it's got a, you must be this tall to ride, and Bloomberg's head is right under the line.
Oh, no.
And that's Dusty Diamond.
Like the rides
at
the Jersey Shore.
Yeah, like, right, Air Force One is like the roller coaster in Wildwood. No. You must be this tall to ride this. Anyway, it's like Patrick, my son, you know, he's got curly hair. I'm always like, buddy, stand up straight and kind of let the curls get you that extra inch you need. You know what I mean? It's what that's daddy's trick. That'll be Bloomberg. He'll be on his, like, tippy toes. All right, Mr. President, you can come on Marine One now.
So that's why you keep your hair long on top. I get it now.
Yeah, it's an extra, gives you an extra inch or two. You know what I mean? These are the kind of things you got to do to survive, you know? Tomorrow night, you like to laugh? We love to laugh, too. Tomorrow night at Parks Casino, we'll have a little comedy show. Come by and see us. It's at Oliveto at Parks Casino. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, the beautiful thing about comedy night is you get to hear the insults of Mike Baldini and also comedians that make you laugh. Tickets are only $20, include your first drink free. And I'll be there, and Dawn's going to be there, Greg's going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Just go to parkscasino.com/comedy and get your ticket, and we'll see you tomorrow night. It's just about 8 o'clock or so at Parks Casino, and it's always a lot of fun. Just, you know, I don't know these comedians. I don't know if they're going to curse or something. If you don't like, you know, if that bothers you, I get it. So just, you may not want to come out. Sometimes the comedians get a little, you know, like, I don't care. I like to have fun and laugh, you know, but I mean, I always enjoy that stuff. But if you love comedy and if you love comedians, and even if you don't know who they are, you just want to come out and hang out with us, we'll be there. So come by Oliveto Parks Casino tomorrow night, about 8 o'clock. And if you can guess the movie today, we'll also give you a pair of tickets to come to Oliveto at tomorrow night for the Comedy Night at Parks Casino. So without further ado, let's do it.
The Morning Mystery Clip. Yeah. On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's the car, right? Chicks love the car.
What is it about the wrong kind of man? In grade school, it was guys with earrings. College, motorcycles, leather jackets. Now, black rubber.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
It is a pair of tickets to see us tomorrow night at Comedy Night. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. We'll be right back.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!